and just excited about this Christmas season. And just want to encourage you, church, to make sure that you just stay on board with dates and so on, because there's a little bit going on. All the organized people said, oh, there's lots of them at Shy Live. And so we just want to make sure that, particularly around this time of the year, you will find there are a few things that we'll be sharing with you. And just remembering that all of these things are an opportunity to invite our friends, people who don't know Jesus, to come along to breakfast by the beach. And, of course, the gift-giving service is to be a blessing beyond ourselves. And, of course, Carols in the Shire will tell you more about that as the weeks roll on. Don't forget, tonight we have got water baptisms coming up. I have decided. And so that's going to be great. We've got a whole heap of people, from kids all the way through to mums and dads, who'll be getting baptized tonight. And that's going to be an absolutely terrific night. So Shy Live is your home, which I'm assuming it is. Can I encourage you, let's be here, let's support those who are getting baptized, because as the family of God, I think one of the great things that we can do is be present when people are making a public declaration of their faith. Can you say amen? Amen. How good is that? Also want to welcome this morning two great, great friends from Adelaide, and that is Amrita and also Aman. So stand up, guys, so everyone can see who you are. There you go. Let's give them a great clap. Welcome, guys. And Amrita and Aman, their family was very close to Alison and I when we lived in Adelaide. And Amrita is one of the great worship leaders at Influences Church in Adelaide. And Aman, he serves on the worship team at Edge Church in Adelaide as well, Pastor Danny Guglamucci, also Jonathan Van Tenerosa, Jonathan's church. And so that's two amazing churches that are making an impact all around the globe. Also great to hear about the good things that God has done through our team in Myanmar, and just very thankful to God. And I said to our staff on Tuesday in our staff meeting that it's just good for us to keep in mind, because it's a humility check when you see God move in this way. And the humility check is this, and that is, we have entered into the labors of other men and women of God who've actually plowed the ground for us. So before our heart gets too lofty about the great things, and that's not an implication to anyone here this morning, but it's a nice check. Before our hearts get too proud about how anointed I am, we must remember that there are men and women of God who plowed the ground before us, and what we are enjoying is their labors. Can you say amen? And people like Pastor Alan Davies and people like Faith Church in Melbourne have spent 20 years in that nation building credibility, building trust, and we get to enjoy the fruits of their labor. And so we give glory to God for the good things he has done. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, we don't have a lot of time left in our service, so we're going to get straight into the Word of God today. Amen. Let's open up our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 5. And we're going to read from verse 1 just in a moment. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And this is one of the great miracles of the New Testament. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. We are a Bible church. Our church is built on the Word of God, the foundation of God's Word. Above everything else, we are a church of the Word. It'll keep us safe. It'll keep us walking in truth, because there is much out there that would cause us on YouTube to figure out the mark of the beast and everything else that goes with it. Our eyes are upon Jesus. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Who'd like to hear a sermon from Jesus? All the people who went with me to Israel, we stood right there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. By the way, we're doing another trip in 2017. See Pastor Christie for details. Bible says, great crowds pressed in on him. Now listen, watch the hunger for God's word. to listen to the word of God. How good is that? That is better than a Boxing Day crowd right there. Verse 2. He noticed, that is Jesus, two empty boats at the water's edge. For fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him, his great little revelation this morning, he asked him to push out a little from the land. The gentle nudges of the Holy Spirit. After you've fished all night and you've been disappointed, God tends to give us a little nudge. He says, push out a little from the land. Get out from the safety, place of safety. Get out from the place where you're just like, it's nice here. Whenever you've been hurt, our Lord Jesus comes and he just gives you a gentle nudge. Can you say amen? Like only he can do. He sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to disappointed Simon, who was tired from fishing, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. I wonder if you're in a place this morning where you really need a word from God. I wonder if you're in a place where you've journeyed through 2016 and God has blessed you and strengthened you, encouraged you, you've heard from God and good things have happened. But you might just be at a place, like Pastor Hannah said this morning, where you're a bit confused and you're trying to figure out what the future really looks like. I don't know about you, but now and again I find myself in that place. I find myself trying to reach forward into the future and to hear from God and to listen to God and to know what he's saying and know what he wants to do. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. I know them and they follow me. Have you ever been in a place where perhaps some of you, you might even be at a crossroad in your career, a crossroad in your business, a crossroad in relationships, and you feel God stretching you and pulling you forward into the future, but you don't know exactly what decision to make to engage in the future that God has for you. Jesus comes to Simon Peter, who had been fishing all night, and says to him in verse number 4, he says to him, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, I want you to notice that prior to this, it was a general sermon. It was a sermon to the crowds. It was a sermon to everybody. It was the sermon that everybody liked because they were all pressing in to hear from Jesus. But now and again, God seems to call out our name in the middle of a sermon and he speaks to you and he says to you, hey Simon, you've heard a general sermon this morning, but this morning I actually have a word for you. It went from an everybody sermon to a somebody sermon. Something that was general to something that became specific. A message to the masses, and now an individual was singled out. Something that everybody hears to only one person, hearing the voice of God. It's one thing to come to church and to hear a general sermon. I like general sermons. But it's a whole nother level when you come to church and the sermon has your name on it. It's the difference between hearing the word of God and hearing a word from God. Let me tell you the sermons that you never forget. It's the sermons where you know God has called out my name in that message and he says to you in the middle of the sermon, hey Peter, Simon Peter, I've got a word for you. It's like the person after church saying, that was a really good service, Pastor. And another person saying, you were talking to me this morning. Same message, but somebody heard their name in the middle of the message. From time to time, we all need one of these experiences. We all need a sermon where God actually calls out your name, where he actually speaks to you and he says, "Hey, Simon Peter, it's been general this morning, but I've got something very specific for you." I like it when God's specific. I mean, I like it when he's general. That's good as well. But there's something special when the word becomes specific. Now, watch the level of detail in this word, in this spiritual encounter that Peter had with Jesus this morning. Luke chapter 5, verse 4 says, "When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon," he says to him, "launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Now, to you, that may not sound kind of super specific, but if you break it down, there is some serious revelation just in that one verse. Watch what he tells him. He says, where to go? Launch out into the deep. He tells him what to do. Let down your net for a catch. And of course, what to expect, which is for a catch. So he tells him where to go, what to do, and what to expect. Come on, stay with me, church. Where to go, what to do, and what to expect. I like those words from God. That's the kind of prophecy that I want. Amen. Not the general prophecy. I want, Lord, some detail. Where to go, what to do, and in my obedience, what to expect from the Lord. Can you say amen this morning? For some of us, we're wondering where to go. Lord, am I supposed to sell this house and move to another location? What are you saying, God? For some, it's what to do. And Lord, how do I get this business going to the next level? How do I grow my life group? Lord, how do I heal that broken relationship? And imagine if God telling you that if you do these things, you can expect A, B, and C. For some of us, we're wondering where to go. Lord, am I supposed to sell this house and move to another location? What are you saying, God? For some, it's what to do. And Lord, how do I get this business going to the next level? How do I grow my life group? Lord, how do I heal that broken relationship? And imagine if God telling you that if you do these things, you can expect A, B, and C. It's kind of like a sneak preview from the Lord. Amen. Some of us are in situations this morning where you need that kind of word from God. I need that word from God every now and again. But let me ask you a question. How do you get that kind of word from God? How does it actually happen? Let's make it practical. How does it actually come about? Is it because I've got the most spiritual life group leader? And if I go to under that life group, mate, they are going to be prophesying over me. Every 3 weeks, I'll be getting something from God. Is it that I need to worship harder? And if I worship harder, then I'm getting that kind of word from God. Can you say amen? Is it that I need to serve harder? If I serve more, give more, I'll get that itemized list from the Lord on email in detail. How do you actually engage in such a word from God? Because we all need to hear the voice of God. God leads us by his voice. My sheep know my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Number one, if you want that kind of itemized list from the Lord, it's very simple. Sometimes you just gotta keep turning up. How deep is that? You just got to turn up. Peter had a rough night fishing. He had fished all night and had caught nothing. But what did he do? He just kept turning up. Church, you got to keep turning up. You got to turn up at that conference. You got to turn up at that prayer meeting. You got to turn up at your life group. You got to turn up at creative nights. You got to turn up in Bible college. You got to turn up at that leadership meeting. You got to turn up at discipleships, because it's in the turning up that we position ourselves to hear from God. The man at the gate beautiful, what did he do? Every day, the only thing he could do is just turn up. He had nothing to give to others. He had no money to pay for his miracle. But sometimes all you got to do is just turn up. Don't underestimate the power of turning up. Don't underestimate what it means to be here amongst the saints of God. So I'm getting excited this morning. Worshiping God, receiving communion, sitting under the teaching of the word. Don't underestimate the power of turning up. The man who was healed at the pool of Bethesda, year after year, month in, month out, day in, day out, all he could do is just turn up. Sometimes you can go through things in life where you don't have the strength to do much else except to just turn up. If that's all you've got this morning, I'm telling you, God is pleased with you, and you have positioned yourself for a miracle from God by just turning up. The devil will say to you, well, you should have read not John this morning. And because you didn't, I don't know if you're going to get your miracle. All Simon Peter did on this day is just turn up. Because it's not about what you do, but it's about what he has done. And all we got to do is just turn up in the presence of God. Can you say amen? Let's keep going. Don't underestimate of how little things can actually be big. That's my number two, by the way. Little is in fact big. And all the little people said, ooh, amen. Little is in fact big. Watch verse 2. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge. Great boats, awesome. For the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. Here we go. And asked him to push out a little. How good is that? I love little. Because little became a trigger point for the miraculous. Little is you stepping out of your seat and coming down the front in the altar call time to say, I need prayer. You didn't have to do a cartwheel down the stairs. And please don't ever try that, or else I'll get in trouble from Pastor Deb. Little is you just taking that little step of faith. We live in a world that loves everything in Christianity to be spectacular. But I want to tell you that God also works in the little. It's the little step of faith. It's that little decision for you to say, as hard as it is, I'm going to be here in the house of God this morning. It's that anxiety attack that may come from time to time and you just choose to push out a little. It's facing up to those people, those wonderful people that love you in Jesus' name. But you go there in the goodness of God, because all you're doing is just pushing out a little. God will ask of you every now and again just to push out a little. We think that God is only in the giant steps. God is in the, I must move from here to over there. And if it doesn't happen between this morning and tonight, I fail. But God is into the business of little. Be encouraged this morning. Be encouraged in the Lord this morning that your little matters to God. Amen. Amen. God is into the little. Miracles happen in the little. This morning on the platform, you can't see it because I've got this gigantic tissue box there because this monk sneezed all over me on the aeroplane in Myanmar, bless his heart, and I couldn't change seats. And Andrew and Mona were laughing at me. And he thought, oh, I've got to tell you this story. So I got jump on the plane, and I got like row 4, seat C, aisle seat. Thank you, Lord. I go and someone's in my seat. So, excuse me, you're in my seat. Oh, no, on this aircraft, you just sit wherever you want. I see exit rows available. Hallelujah, it's the blessing of God. I go to the exit row. I'm sitting next to this brother in all his orange Dalai Lama gear. And he thought that the vomit bag was to muster up every bit of saliva he possibly could. It was a 55-minute flight. I'm getting the hand gel. I'm going all over me. I'm drinking the hand gel just to be healthy. Take authority over that thing in the name of Jesus. Little. I hold in my hand a Gideon's Bible. Majority of us would be familiar with the organization Gideon's. Distribute Bibles in hotel rooms all over the world. Do you know how the Gideon's organization actually started? It started when a businessman by the name of John Nicholson arrived at his hotel after doing business deals all day as a salesman at 9 p.m., got to his hotel in Wisconsin. The hotel was kind of full. And so they said to him, they said, Mr. Nicholson, there's not much we can do, but we're going to ask another gentleman by the name of Samuel Hill, who's got a larger room. There's a spare bed in there. Maybe he might let you sleep in the spare bed. Well, he goes into the room eventually, and there is Samuel Hill reading his Bible. John Nicholson says to Samuel Hill, are you a Christian? He says, yes, I am. He goes, I'm a Christian as well. They pray together. They read John chapter 15 together. And 9 months later, they bump into each other at another hotel. Well, they start chatting. They start encouraging each other. And they said to each other, you know what? Wouldn't it be great when you're a salesperson on the road going from state to state, if there was a way of getting Bibles into hotel rooms so that when business people travel, they've got a Bible there to read. They call their organization the Gideons. Gideons have placed and distributed more than 1.7 billion Bibles and New Testaments in more than 190 countries around the world. More than 700 million Bibles and New Testaments were distributed just in the last 10 years. 78.9 million copies of the Word of God were distributed this year. Over 1 million Bibles and New Testaments are distributed every 4.5 days. On average, more than 2 copies of God's Word are distributed per second. The ministry of the Gideons started in 1908, and 108 years later, the world is still impacted by a little prayer meeting. Never underestimate the power of little. 2 men on an ordinary day, a seemingly insignificant act of Bible reading and prayer became a catalyst for worldwide impact. Amen. Amen.
Bernie Diamond, I was a really successful businessman. I went to a really good school. I was the ducks of the school. I went to the Royal Military College, Duntroon. I graduated from there as an army officer. And after 10 years in the military, I then went into business with some friends of mine, and we grew an international consulting firm into a really large, successful business, which we then sold to a public company. So, you know, by any global standard, I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I was really blessed. I had everything. I had a great home. I had a great education. I had plenty of money. But the more of that stuff that I had, the more I wanted. My aim in life was to be as wealthy as possible and to be as successful as possible and to get as much kudos as possible. And I didn't care who got in my road. I would walk straight over the top of them to get to where I was going. I've made grown men cry. As a businessman. The more successful I became, the more money I had, the more money I spent on myself, the bigger were my cars and my houses. But can I tell you honestly, as much as the bravado, the outward Bernie looked successful and appeared successful to everybody else, the more of that stuff that I had, the emptier I felt. In fact, things got so bad that in February 1995, I was travelling a lot. I travelled as part of my consulting work. I was staying at a hotel in Brisbane, Grand Chancellor. And I remember it was a bright, sunny morning, and I walked out on the balcony. It was the 8th floor, room 814, and I came this close to taking my own life. I still remember looking down at the concrete driveway 8 floors below and thinking about taking my own life. Now, when I was young, I'd kind of believed in God, but, you know, you grow out of that stuff, fortunately. And you Christians, by the way, you Christians seriously got up my nose. I hated you Christians because you Christians were so goody-two-shoes and so this and so that. And I had no time for Christians. In fact, the only Christians in my life I treated really badly because I didn't like them. I guess now I can look back on it and see what was going on spiritually. But back then, I hated Christians. So here I am on this balcony on this morning, really ready to take my life. And I can only describe it as though there were two forces pulling me, one pulling me over the balcony and one pulling me back inside. I now know who was trying to pull me over the balcony. But there was this force trying to pull me back inside. And so I went inside and I knelt down because I thought that's what you've got to do. And I said, God, I don't know if you're out there. But if you are, now would be a really good time. That's all I had. And that's all it took. The night before, I'd been reading the Gideon's Bible that was in my hotel room. I pray that one day in eternity, I'm going to meet the guy who put the Bible in the top drawer of my bedside table. And without any shadow of doubt, I can tell you that God spoke to me through that Bible. And I stand here today because that guy put that Bible in that hotel room. 10,000 years and then
forevermore. Amen. All it takes is a little. Can you say amen? Number three. Walk in your prophetic destiny. Simon Peter has the most amazing encounter with Jesus. A miraculous event took place. But I want you to watch his response. Luke chapter 5 verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, that is the great catch of fish. Look at what happened to him. He fell down on his knees. That's a good thing, right? Amen. Come on, believers. That's a good thing to worship God. But we got a problem here, folks. Because he tells God to go away. He says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Oh, Lord. Prior to that, he called him teacher. Now he calls him Lord. The propensity of the human heart is to speak to ourselves and to tell ourselves, you're not good enough. You're not good enough to have this kind of encounter with God. Jesus, you don't know me. I was the guy when the nightclub closed at 4 a.m. who was still partying. I watched the sunrise. I was the guy, Jesus, that was out there in the city going crazy, drinking as much as I possibly could. I don't think I'm the candidate, Jesus, to be used by you. So I'm asking you, Jesus, depart from me because I am a sinful man. I want to deal with the spirit of condemnation this morning, because one of the great reasons why we don't have these kind of encounters with our Lord Jesus Christ is because condemnation keeps telling you you're not good enough. If only people really knew my story. I mean, I'm happy just to come to Shiloh. I kind of do a little bit of the worship, yeah. Now and again, you'll see a sway, but I'm actually not good enough. Well, imagine if Jesus says, well, Simon Peter, now that you've brought your sins out into the open, let's just tell everybody what's really gone on in your life. You notice in the verse, Luke chapter 5, verse 8, Jesus did not even acknowledge his past. He goes on to say in verse 10, and Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. The Spirit of God speaks to you this morning. And if you are living under condemnation, the glory of God is not just in your future. The Bible teaches us in the book of Isaiah that the glory of God is in fact behind you. He's the God who's poured out his glory even on your mistakes, even on the things that you've done wrong. Even when you were dancing in that nightclub, breaking it down to Will Smith, getting jiggy with it. He's poured his glory upon your past. He says to him, Simon, don't be afraid. You do not need to be afraid this morning. You do not need to be afraid of the mistakes and the things that have happened. The glory of God is in front of you, as well as behind you. He speaks into his future and he says to him, from now on, let me tell you your destiny, you will catch men. He comforts him. He assures him of his destiny. And in fact, he's telling him, you've got a new DNA. The DNA has changed. You are not what you used to be. The Bible tells us, if any of us be in Christ, we are new creations. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Can you say amen? Your identity this morning, church, does not have to be defined by the words of others. It's not by your past mistakes. That's not who you are. It's not by the circumstances of life. God's truth will set you free and completely redefine who you are, based not on your past, but on the future God has for you. The world says, your future is because of your past. Now, these are the effects of the present. And because of what happened in the past, it's affecting your present, thereby creating a future. But Jesus doesn't see it that way. From a Bible perspective, it's actually your future that dictates your present, thereby defining or making or creating a past. Can you say amen? For by grace you have been saved through faith. Amen. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any of us should boast. Some of us, we are resisting the encounters that God has for us because we keep saying, Lord, I like the miracle that's happened, but depart from me, Jesus. I'm actually a really sinful person. Jesus does not even look at your mistakes, but he speaks to your future and he says, do not be afraid. Some of our mums, I feel this in the Holy Spirit this morning, you are living under the condemnation of the enemy. And the enemy keeps saying to you, if only you were a better mum. Some of our dads are here this morning, and the spirit of condemnation speaks to you when it comes time to take communion and says to you, if only you were a better dad. If only I was a better Christian. If only I was a better prayer. If only I was a better Bible reader. If only, if only, if only. And we break that spirit today in the name of Jesus. And we declare in Jesus' name, you are an overcomer. I find it interesting, church, that the natural response that came out of Peter's heart is actually true for many. We don't realize it, but the spirit of condemnation speaks to us in encounters with God and says, you're in fact not good enough. So, Jesus, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. But Jesus speaks to you and he says to you, I have a great future for you. I have a great plan for you. The things which I have for you, from now on, you will catch men. There are people that are here this morning, and maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal friend. You don't know what it means to be a follower of Christ. And the things you've done wrong, the past has grabbed a hold of you and said to you that, I don't know if God's going to accept you. I want you to know this morning that there are many of us. In fact, you are in good company today, including myself, of people who needed to receive the love and the forgiveness of God. I want you to know this morning that God's love and God's grace is greater than your sin. It's greater than your mistakes. It's greater than the things that you've done wrong. And you don't have to pay for your sins. You don't have to try and muster up some kind of strength or energy for God to accept you. He loves you and accepts you exactly the way that you are. Somebody shout, I am loved by God. Come on, I am loved by God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.